one of the things that's happening for us is that we've got this big life that we're talking about. And so if you've got your Bible, if you're ready, you can grab your Bible. I think the first verse that I do is in Psalm 8. And so we're doing the big life. And I get to do the first one in launching the big life. And the thing that got me as soon as we started thinking about the big life, your big life, is that you won't have a big life unless you've got a big God. In fact, you got to have a big God if you want to have a big life. Yeah. Growing up for me, I was always little. I was the little fella in the class. The class photos, I was on the end. I don't know why, but they put the little fellas right on the end. Yeah, it was really sad. Yeah, it was really tough. So I was either the shortest or the second to shortest in the class, and I was on the edge. But I was. My father was always big, so my father was big, and for me as a little guy, he was big. But he was big and he was strong. And when I faced anything as a kid, I was never fearful of anything because I knew that my dad was a big dad. And you know, you as a kid, you think you're invincible when you go with your dad, and it's all right. Dad will take care of it. And you know, never had to worry about anything. My dad could do anything. How many people had a dad that could do anything? He built the back of our house. He wasn't a builder, but he took on building. He used to come to the school, which was sort of good, was sort of bad. He used to speak in the assemblies at the school I was at, which sometimes went well and sometimes it was terrible. But I still thought, oh, you know, my dad can do anything, especially as you're younger. Well, still now he can do anything. I think you got to see it that way. But because he was big, I felt safe. And I felt secure. And when it comes to God, my question for you is, how big is your God? How big is your God? How great is your God? The God that you believe in, how big is he? How great is he? Because if he's small, then you will only expect small things of him. But if he's big, you'll expect big things. You know, one of the things in the world is that we all want to know, or people want to know about ourselves, really. We want to know, who are we? Why are we here? And the world's running around trying to work that out. There's all sorts of books on trying to find out, who are you? Who are we, really? What are we here for? All these things that we try. But the thing that we've got to actually do first is we've got to find out, who is God? Until you have a revelation of God, you will struggle to have even a revelation of yourself. Because what we're here for, what our purpose is, what God's called us to, if you don't know God, then you're not going to know who you are yourself. And in a world that's looking for self-esteem and wanting to find out, you find your self-esteem, you find your purpose in knowing God. So, who is God? The funny thing about this is, as I started thinking about God and I did some research on how amazing and how big God is, the thing is that God's actually too big for you and I to know. He's too big for you and I to know, yet we want to know him. And my desire for you is that you would know him, that you would know, that you would have a vital relationship with him. One of our things as Christians is that we believe in a God that we can relate in. We want to have a personal relationship with God. I want to have, the number one important thing is that I have my own personal relationship with God. The God that I believe in wants to personally have a part in your life, in my life. He wants to be relatable. That's what he wants to be. And that's vital. And you know, despite all the facts there is, despite all the doctrine there is, the number one thing you still come back to is, I've got to know God. I've got to have a personal relationship with God. It's what you and I need, isn't it? A personal. So who is this God? And so we're just going to read a few verses. I've got them up there, starting in Psalm 8. Psalm 8 there. Let me just read this to you. So Psalm 8, this is about our God. Verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. When I look at the night sky and I see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals? That's us. Mere mortals. That you should think about them, human beings, that you should care for them. Yet you made them only a little lower than God, crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge over everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, here to see the right way around, and everything that swims the ocean. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name, or how great, how majestic, how awesome your name is, it fills the earth. Psalm 83, 18 says, then they will learn that you alone are called the Lord and that you alone are the Most High, supreme over all the earth. There's no one greater than God. There's no one higher than God. Psalm 96 says this, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day, declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. Why? Why do we want to do that? For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are his sanctuary. I don't know what your view is on how the world came to be. There seems to be a lot of different thought on that. There's the people that believe in just a literal 7-day creation, to those who believe maybe there was a mix of them both. For me, I look at it and I go, when you look at our creation, you look at the universe, it is huge. It is complicated. Like, it's extremely complicated. It's hard to understand how this all came to be. It's too complicated and too interrelated to have just appeared there. To believe that it just had a big bang and we all came together, not even the scientists can go, no, well, it's just too complicated. Everything is far too complicated. It's too big. I don't know if you've, you've done that thing where you sit down on or lie down on the trampoline and you look up at the stars and you start thinking about, where's the end? How big is this? You know, when you look at, I think a light year is how far light travels in a year, which is something like over a trillion miles in one light year. Did you know our nearest star, the nearest one, the one that's really close to us, is 4 light years. It's too big to fathom how big this is. And this is our God. This is our God. This is where it goes, hey man, this is pretty hard to comprehend. Psalm 145 says, I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. That's how our God is beyond our comprehension. His greatness, no one can fathom. And the last verse, Psalm 150, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty firmament or the expanse of his heavens, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Our God is big. Let me just pray. Father, I pray that this morning you just give us a fresh revelation of you, Father. Lord, we can try to understand things, but God, we need a revelation from you, Father. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, we wouldn't get lost in this, but Father, we would find you, Lord. Lord, we would find you, Father, that, Lord, it would help us to believe more in you, Father, to believe in you, in your hugeness, that nothing is impossible to you, Father, that, Lord, there's nothing in our life that is impossible. God, that we would believe that you can do all things in our life, that, Lord, you want to be a part of our lives. Lord, help us to accept and to understand and to have revelation, we pray, this morning. So there's three things about God, if I'm going to try and basically tell you how big and how great he is, here's the three things. In fact, we'll put them up there. God is incomprehensible. You and me cannot comprehend God. You know, we try to, but he is far vaster than, vaster, is that a word? Far bigger, far greater than anything that we can't comprehend. You can't, he's incorruptible and he's incomparable. So there is nothing that you and I can compare him to. He's outside of anything. He's big. He's huge. Let me just take that first one, and I think I'll only get through the first one today, and that's God's incomprehensible. It is impossible to know him. You know, I always find it interesting. People like to go, look, I don't know enough about God. I think I'll go do some theology. And so I think I'll go to Bible college to do some theology. And I understand what they're trying to do, but to go and learn about God, you will only learn a portion of it. Like you could go to the thing and do a 3-year thing and you'll get a foundation. You may get to look into specializing in one area. It might be one book, it might be one thing, but you won't cover it all. It is too big. It is too great. Look, no mind can contain what the, so theology is about God. You won't be able to find a limit to it. It's impossible. But God also gives us his written word that reveals him. And you know, look, one of the things, we'll talk a little bit about knowledge, but just through knowledge, you won't find God. Knowledge, it's a revelation that you get from God. It's a spirit. It takes God's Holy Spirit to reveal himself. You could just go study and you're not going to find it. But you can go study and go, Holy Spirit, help me, and he will reveal himself to you. There is a spirit in it. It's just not knowledge on its own. It's that knowledge mixed with spirit. So who is God? There's in the book of Judges 13, many people would know Samson in the Bible. But Samson's parents, I don't know if you've ever read the story about Samson's parents. They've got a very similar story to that of Joseph and Mary in the Bible. Where Samson's mother, I don't even know whether it puts Samson's mother's name, is out in the field, and an angel visits and says, you're going to have a son. They've been barren. They've been waiting to have kids. And the husband goes, well, no, I need to hear this. So she goes and tells him, and his name, I think, is Manoah. Manoah goes, hey, well, you know, I need to hear this message from the messenger as well. And so the messenger comes a second time to Samson's mother, and she says, wait here. And she runs into town, gets her husband, and brings him out to meet this guy. And in verse 17, so Judges 30, you can go home and read the story. Hopefully I've whet your appetite enough to go, oh, I think I'll just go have a little look at that. In verse 17, it says this, then Manoah asked the angel of the Lord, what is your name? For when all this comes true, we want to honor you. Why do you ask my name? The angel of the Lord replied. It is too wonderful for you to understand. It's too wonderful for you to understand. Here's the thing. That word wonderful doesn't mean fantastic, terrific. It's really doesn't cover what it means. It actually means incomprehensible. My name, who I am, is incomprehensible. You will not comprehend it. You will not, because your name covers who you are. And he's saying, look, I am so, so vast and so great that you just won't, your little 4-inch, is it 4-inch mind? Some of you got 5 inches, you got a little bit more. You cannot comprehend God. Yeah, I don't know if you've at Christmas, and this was good for me because I've, you know how in one of the carols it goes, it quotes Isaiah 9:6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful." And I've always gone, wonderful. That's weird. Is anybody else going? It's sort of, why is that? Well, that word wonderful is incomprehensible. He will be incomprehensible. We will not be able to comprehend him. He is huge. He is incredible. So when we talk about incomprehensible, there's three things we're talking about. Okay, so we're going to narrow it down again. So I've said, hey, there's three things about God. One of them's incomprehensible. And then I go on to, there is three things we mean when we say incomprehensible. The first is, he is incomprehensible in what he knows. In what God knows, in what God does, and who he is. We can't comprehend. Let's just start with what he knows. You can tell I'm not going to get very far today, eh? Because we've just gone down a big, big thing. What he knows. It is impossible for you and me to know what God knows. It's too vast. You think just a minute thing about everything you've ever done in your life and thought in your life. Could you write it all down? It's huge. There's a huge amount. He knows that. He knows everything. His knowledge, look, we're not talking about some minute thing. His knowledge about you is, and even that in itself is incomprehensible. And then it doesn't just know about you, specifically you. He knows about every person that's ever come before us. Every person on the planet today. It's a fair bit of information, isn't it? You know, we think our computers, man, we've got a lot of information. Now, we've had probably in the last 20 years one of the biggest knowledge explosions that have ever happened. God knows it all. It's incomprehensible. He knows from the beginning to the end. He knows everything that's happened in your life and my life. He knows it all. He knows your weaknesses better than you do. He knows what sins. Isn't that a funny thing? I think I'll just hide some of my sin from God. It's just, he's huge. And we think, oh, God can't really do anything in my life. No. This God is incredible. He knows all things. He knows the tragedies. He knows the sorrows we bear. He knows the pains, the hurts. And he understands. He understands it all. He cares for it all. He knows. And he asks us to trust him. He knows everything. He knows the answer to your why. He might not tell you. He probably won't tell you. But he knows. He knows. He knows. Psalm 139, a great psalm. Verse 1 to 6 says this. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I am far away. You see me when I travel, when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say, even before I say it. Wow. Lord, you go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. You know, Job tried to find out why suffering. And, you know, if you read the book of Job, there's a whole lot in there with a whole lot of guys trying to make sense of things for him. His friends, you know, trying to make sense. Well, you know, you're suffering because of maybe you've done something wrong. You know, they're all trying to make sense of what's happening. And really, it's filled with a whole lot of stuff that's man trying to work it out. Yeah. And it's not till the very end that suddenly Job goes, I can't work it out. You know, it's this revelation of, God, I do not know why, but I know you and I trust you. And so in verse 42, Job 42:3, he says, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Wonderful, again translated, is incomprehensible. Look, I am trying to work it out. And I know if you're in your life, am I trying to work things out? Look, some things we've just got to go, God, you know. God, you know. I trust you. You know. You know. You have it all under control. You know. He knows. He knows. Don't worry. He knows. It's incomprehensible. Psalm 139, verse 1 to 6 in the King James Version says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me from behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I can't contain it. I cannot understand it. It's incomprehensible. His knowledge. And in the end, we have to go, I trust his knowledge. I trust his knowledge about me. I trust him. I'm going to run out of time to go on to talk about it. What he does is wonderful. And who he is. And if there's only one thing I just want you to get today is he's incomprehensible. And this is the thing. I think what happens for us is when things get really big, sometimes we think, well, then he doesn't know me. You know, if you think of God being big and being outside of this universe, which he is, he's outside of it, yet he's all present everywhere, you can start to think, well, God, this is so big. What do you know of me? Why would you know who I am? Yet at the same time, if you understand he's all-knowing, then you know that, no, he does know about everything in your life. And he is interested in the most minute thing in your life. He wants to relate to you. He wants you to know. Man, we're on this journey of getting to know God, and we're only going to know a portion of him. But that which we know and that which he reveals is what we need. And right now in your situation, you know, we're talking about living a big life. I want you to live a big life, but you've got to understand how big your God is. You know, if we believed that God was hearing every one of our prayers, then we'd pray more prayers. See, the involvement that you have with your God is based on the revelation you have of your God. So you involve God in your life to the extent that you've had a revelation of who he is. You have him, you pray, your prayer life is a reflection of the revelation you've had on prayer. So if you go, oh, well, I don't know whether prayer works, then that'll be your outworking. But if you go, no, my God hears every one of my prayers, and I need to pray. He's interested in what's in my life right now. He's not far away. He's right close. If you're aware that he's there all the time, then maybe you'll think, hey, man, well, maybe I shouldn't do this. My God's right next to me. My God's right with me. Why don't you close your eyes for a moment? Father, I pray for each person here. Some of them have actually at times said, oh, it's no good. God doesn't know who I am. And that's not true, God. You know who they are. You know what they're facing in their life right now. You know what's happening in their situations. Lord, you know it for all of us. Father, at times we've tried to hide things, Father. And Lord, it's just laughable, Father. And Lord, we thank you, though, that despite knowing all about us, you love us. Lord, your love for us is inconceivable. Your love for us is beyond our comprehension. Your love for us is amazing. Lord, help us to know that and to sense that you're a personal God who's interested in every single one here. And Father, those that are maybe just struggling with that, Lord, I pray, Lord, there would be just a fresh revelation of it, that your Holy Spirit is with them, and that, Lord, they would be closer. Lord, that we'd all be closer to you, that we'd all trust you more in our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.